The moment the blood of Jesus touches your life, you are set apart as holy unto him for works of service unto him as a royal priesthood unto him so that you might serve him. The blood of Jesus has declared you as holy and set apart for God. I want to ask you this question as we kind of get going, because I am going to give you a lot today. We're going to put a lot of meat on the bone this morning so that you can go out of here with real understanding about what Christmas is all about. So let me ask you this question. How do you get to God? How do you get there? That's the question the whole world is asking. How do I get to God? Do I have to go to some person? Do I have to climb some mountain? Do I need to go up to the top of a mountain and get a special flower and bring it down to a special temple? Do I need to do a special deed or accomplish some great feat? How do I get to God? Everybody wants to know. Well, today, I'm going to tell you. And you're going to go out of here knowing the answer to that question. As we continue our series, The Greatest Story of All Time, we've been talking about how our stories have chapters. If you've missed any of the chapters, you can go back on YouTube or social media platform. You can even open the Church Center app right now, and under the sermon notes, I have them listed for you. But today we're in chapter 6, and we're going to talk about this, the perfect priest ministers, and we must go to him. The perfect priest ministers, and we must go to him. At first, you might wonder, what does a priest have anything to do with Christmas? How is that part of the Christmas story and little baby Jesus in the manger? Well, it has absolutely everything to do with the Christmas story. In the Old Testament, God led his people with three main offices, three main leaders, the prophet, the priest, and the king. And we already talked about the king, and we talked about the prophet. And today we'll talk about the priest, because Jesus fulfills that role too. He's our great prophet, priest, and king. And so as we think about that in light of Scripture, let's flash back for a moment into the Old Testament. That's why it's so important for you to read your Bibles. God instituted the priesthood after the Israelites were delivered from Egypt and into the Promised Land. He instituted the priesthood along with this place called the Tabernacle, or the Tabernacle of Moses. And it was all of this stuff that they had to do, this place they had to build. And the tabernacle was quite elaborate, and it was basically a portable tent. It kind of looked something like this. That's not an exact replica, but it gives you a kind of idea. They would come into this, the people would camp around it. They had special places they had to camp, and then they would go into there. The priests would go into there to deliver sacrifices and offer sacrifices there at the altar. And then they would go into that middle tent there, the holy place, and behind that was a curtain. And behind that curtain was the most holy place, and that's where the Ark of God was rested, and the cherubim's wings would come over the Ark of the Covenant and the mercy seat of God. And it was all this stuff that they had to do, and all these sacrifices they had to make, and all these special clothes they had to wear. In fact, it's so important that God spends 43 chapters in the Old Testament talking about it. And you might start reading through that if you've never read your Bible, or even if you've read it like me several times, you get to that point and you're like, oh my gosh, this is so boring. Why am I reading this? And it's okay to say that. It's like, why is it so boring? Because it's a giant arrow that God is using to point us to something greater. And so we're going to learn this morning. I'm going to give you kind of a Bible college lesson that helps you to understand what's going on in the Scriptures and why that has absolutely everything to do with Christmas. Are you ready for it? Are you ready? Well, some of you. Let's get a little more excited about the Bible, people. Okay? I don't want you to be shown up. By first service people, okay, because they had less sleep than you. We're going to be excited about it. So the tabernacle of Moses was this, a tent where God's glory dwelt among his people. It was a place where the people could meet with God and hear his voice. And it was a place where priests ministered and sacrifices were offered on behalf of the people. It was a temporary dwelling pointing forward to something greater, which is what we're going to talk about today, pointing forward to something greater. It was like this mobile tent where they actually did sacrifices and worshiped God. And I'm just going to break it down real simple in one sentence for you. Is this: it was where heaven and earth united. It's where God and his people would come together at this place called the Tabernacle of Moses, and the priests would offer sacrifices. Thousands upon thousands of animals were slaughtered for the sins of the people. Millions of gallons of blood were shed for the sins of the people, but they weren't able to cleanse their sins completely because of these things. And so I want to help you understand it. I've got this great, like, very elaborate, very ornate analogy, very, you know, we worked hours on this, hours and hours, to help us understand what I'm talking about, because everybody wants to know how to get here. Everyone say, to God. To God. I don't normally use this, but just pay attention, okay, because it helps some of us like me who are a little slower. Everybody wants to know how to get here. How do I get to God? And so here we are, and we're trying to think, how do I get to God? Somehow, some way, you might not know Jesus, but you know God's real, you know God exists, you know there's something greater. How do I get to God? And the problem is, you feel like, man, if I get to him, is he even going to like me? Because I've done a lot of things wrong. And maybe when I get there, I'm just going to be, he's going to, you know, the Bruce Almighty, smite me, almighty smiter. And he's just going to smite me right there. And so I got to go through somebody. And in the Old Testament, you had to go through the priest. Everyone say the priest. You had to, in order to get to God, you had to go to the priest. And the priest offered sacrifices on your behalf so that your sins would be covered, so that then you could have a right relationship with God. And so for 40 years, the people of Israel carried around this tabernacle, worshiping God and offering sacrifices and going to the priest and doing all the things that God required of them, but something greater was coming. You see, the priest stood as mediator between God and the people. Everyone say mediator. This is important. Now, some people still think, I need to go to a priest here on earth. They still think, I need to go make confession to a man who's living now. I need to go to a special temple. I need to go to some monk, or I need to go to some guru, or I need to go to somebody who's going to help me get to this seat. But I want you to know today that that seat is already occupied by Jesus Christ. And we don't need to go to anybody else, but only to him. And I'm going to prove it to you and show it to you through the scriptures. Let's start with this. Hebrews chapter 8 says this. They serve, the old people in the Old Testament in the tabernacle of Moses, they serve as at a sanctuary that is a copy and shadow of what is in heaven. Remember, I told you, it's a giant arrow pointing us to something greater. It says, this is why Moses was warned when he was about to build the tabernacle, see to it that you make everything according to the pattern shown you on the mountain. But in fact, the ministry Jesus has received is superior. Everyone say superior. Superior. It's superior to theirs, as the covenant which he is mediator is superior to the old one, since the new covenant is established on better promises. I love that. On better promises. The better promises aren't better rules, but a better relationship. Everyone say relationship. Okay? A transformed heart and a changed life and eternal hope. It's secured by a better Savior who is our great high priest. That person is Jesus Christ. So the good news is we learned this morning, you don't ever have to go to another priest here on earth, because Jesus is our great high priest. Jesus is our great high priest. And the Bible says that in 1 Timothy 2, it says, for there is one God. How many gods are there?
One.
And there is one mediator. How many mediators?
One
mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. There's one mediator, one go-between to help us have a right relationship with God, our Heavenly Father. So I just want to lay that groundwork for you this morning. I'm going to give you a little Bible college lesson, if you'll just allow me. And I want to answer this question to you today, with you today, and that's this. What did Jesus, our perfect priest, do for us? What did he do for us? And why does that matter? And what does it have to do with Christmas? Well, I'm going to tell you, and I hope you will write some of these things down. So let's sum it up in this. Jesus didn't just serve as a priest. He didn't just serve as a priest. He became the sacrifice and opened the way and now sits before God on our behalf. I'm going to explain all that to you. Write this down. Number one, Jesus offered the perfect sacrifice. Say perfect. Perfect. Have you been trying to find the perfect gift this Christmas? How many of you have been trying to find the perfect gift? Did you know that none of those sinners in first service raised their hand? Did you know that? What a crazy group of people first service people are. None of them. I don't even think they're getting anybody gifts. We need to pray for them. But sometimes we're trying really hard, I want to find the perfect gift. Or I want to get the perfect gift. Or maybe you just want the perfect life. I'm looking for the perfect wedding. I'm looking for the perfect situation. Or how about this one? I'm looking for the perfect church. Trying to find it. I'm going to find one. It's out there somewhere. And we're always trying to find perfect things. Well, there's only one perfect thing, and that's Jesus Christ. And he became the perfect sacrifice without blemish. In the Old Testament, they had to offer a lamb without blemish, without spot or wrinkle. It couldn't have any flaw. And so Jesus, our great high priest, came as the Lamb of God and was sacrificed, who was sinless. No sin was found in him. And he became our perfect sacrifice in our place. Hebrews chapter 10 says it this way. It says, the law was only a shadow of the good things that are coming, not the realities themselves. For this reason, it can never, by the same sacrifices repeated endlessly year after year, make perfect those who draw near to God. The Old Testament priests couldn't get the job done. Otherwise, would they have not stopped being offered? In other words, they would have stopped offering sacrifices if it would have done it. But they had to do it every day and every year on the Day of Atonement. For the worshipers would have been cleansed once and for all and would no longer have felt guilty for their sins. But those sacrifices are an annual reminder of sins. It is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Impossible. Day after day, every priest stands and performs his religious duties again and again. He offers the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But when this priest, who, Jesus, had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God, and since that time he waits for his enemies to be made his footstool. For by one sacrifice, he has made perfect. Everyone say perfect. Perfect. He has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. I know that's a lot of verses. Some of you, that's the most verse you've read all year long. But I want you to know this. Why did Jesus make the perfect sacrifice? Because he was perfect. How is it possible that he could make us perfect? Because he was perfect. And so we recognize him coming this Christmas as our perfect sacrifice. And coincidentally, it's interesting that the Jews, after Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection and ascension into heaven, and after the destruction of the temple in AD 70, no longer made any more sacrifices at the temple. And they won't admit it, but I'll tell you why. It's because Jesus was the perfect sacrifice. He was the perfect sacrifice on our behalf. And you don't, aren't you thankful for this? Some of you animal lovers, you don't have to sacrifice animals for your sin. Because Jesus was the perfect sacrifice. I want this to sink in for you, because I can say this and it can go right over your head. I want you to understand this. Because on that moment when the enemy tells you and reminds you how imperfect you are, I look to a perfect priest who sits between God and me and was the perfect sacrifice for my imperfection. And because of that, I'm made holy. Not because of anything I did, but because of what he did. Because he paid the price I could not pay. He made the sacrifice I could not make. because he was God in the flesh. And you don't need to make sacrifices anymore. He was the perfect sacrifice. And then when he became the perfect sacrifice, Jesus entered the perfect place. The perfect place. Let me help you understand this. Every day, or every year, on the Day of Atonement, the high priest of the people of Israel could go into the most holy place where the Ark of God dwelt, and the mercy seat covered it, and the cherubim's wings covered. And every year on the Day of Atonement, he would go in and he would offer, sprinkle blood on the altar for his sins and the sins of the people. But he could only do that once a year. He could only pass through the curtain once a year on the Day of Atonement. They had to do this every single year to pay for their sins. And before he ever entered the tent, he had to go through this whole ritual. He had to bathe. He had to wear special clothes. He even had to wear special underwear. They had bells on the bottom of his robes to make sure that the other people outside could hear him ministering as he was walking around in case God decided that he didn't perform correctly and he was struck dead because God's holy and won't tolerate any shortcomings. And so once a year, he would go into the most holy place and he would offer the blood of the sacrifice on the altar for the people's sins and his own sins. And the good news is that Jesus went to the more perfect place on our behalf. Watch this. Hebrews chapter 9 says it this way. But when Christ came as high priest of the good things that are now already here, he went through the greater and more perfect tabernacle that is not made with human hands. That is to say, it's not part of this creation. He did not enter by means of blood of goats and calves, but he entered the most holy place once for all by his own blood, thus obtaining eternal redemption. The blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a heifer sprinkled on those who were ceremonially unclean sanctify them so that they were outwardly clean. How much more then will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself unblemished to God, cleanse our consciences from acts that lead to death so that we may serve the living God. Everyone say that's good news. I'm going to help you understand it. As the high priest would pass through the curtain and he would go into the most holy place, Jesus passed through the heavens and went into God's presence into the most holy place in heaven. Hebrews 4 says it this way, since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. I know I'm giving you a lot of verses, but I want the verses to speak for themselves. But let me explain to you what's happening. The high priest could only pass the curtain once a year on the Day of Atonement. He could go into the place where God's presence dwelt in the most holy place only once a year. And he had to get in, do his duty, and he had to get out. Every day they offered sacrifices. Once a year they had to do on the Day of Atonement. When Jesus died on the cross and he yelled from the cross, "It is finished," that veil was torn in two. And when Jesus rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven and he passed our atmosphere and he passed the solar system and he passed all the planets and he went into the third heaven and he went into the throne room of God and he carried, as it were, his blood of the sacrifice. And he says, "I atone for the sins of mankind once and for all. No longer do they need to make another sacrifice because my sacrifice is sufficient and I am the great high priest of the people so that they might get to God himself." And that's what Christmas is all about. And we understand why it's so significant to understand him as our great high priest, because thank God he sits in this seat. No man could sit in this seat and actually do it justice. We need a great high priest, one who is the perfect Lamb of God, who made the perfect sacrifice, who goes into the throne room of God on our behalf and offers his own blood as a sacrifice and says, "I made atonement. I made atonement for the people. I'm the one who did it." Because it's our perfect priest. He's our great high priest. He passed through and he went into the throne room of God on your behalf. And he didn't just do that, because the next thing he did is Jesus sat down on the perfect seat. Not in row 2. Anybody have that family member that always needs to find a chair? You know what I'm talking about? No matter what they do, they come into the house, they go, okay, where's the chair? Where's my seat? You go to Disneyland, every time you stop for 2 seconds, think, where's the bench? I got to find a bench. Where I got to sit? How many have that type of person? You know that type of person, okay. You are probably that person. Jesus sat down on the perfect seat. Now, I want to tie all this together, and I'm almost too excited to get to the end of the message because it has to do with you, and I'm going to explain why in a second. There was only one seat in the tabernacle of Moses. Only one seat that God told him he could have. And that was called the mercy seat. And you didn't dare sit on the mercy seat because that's where God's glory dwelt. That's where his holiness dwelt. But that's where Jesus sat. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 1:3, it says, the Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down. Everybody say sat down. He sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. He sat down at the right hand of God on the mercy seat. And he is now, Jesus is now, the mercy giver. He's the mercy giver. Let me explain this to you right now. Jesus sat down on this seat, and here you are, and you're wondering how to get here. How do I get into a right relationship with God? And you being a sinful person, in fact, the Bible says because of your sin, you are considered God's enemy because sin is against every good thing and holy thing that God wants and God is. And you think, how am I possibly going to get in right standing with this guy? Well, Jesus offers himself as a sacrifice for sin and pours his blood out on the altar at the mercy seat of God and sits down on it. And every time God looks at you, he looks through Jesus Christ. And every time you go to him and you go to him through Jesus Christ, God says, I am satisfied because the payment has been made. Now you no longer face my wrath and my justice. You actually face my mercy and my grace. Mercy is not giving us what we deserve. Grace is giving us what we don't deserve. And God, through his grace and mercy because of Jesus Christ, looks at Christ and says, I am satisfied. The payment has been made in full. And our great high priest ministers here, and he actually sits at the right hand of God, and he actually intercedes for us, and he pleads for us, and he says, I've made sacrifice. And every time the accuser of the brethren, Satan, comes in to accuse and say, no, they're not worthy. Jesus said, yeah, they're not worthy, but I made them worthy. Amen. Because I was the perfect Lamb of God sacrificed in their place. And this is good news for you and for me, because there's no way I can get to this seat. There's no way I can get to this throne room. And the good news is that now I can have free access. Hear me now. Now you have free access, not because you paid the ticket price, but because your great high priest did. Watch this in Hebrews chapter 4. It says, let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. So before, the priest could only go so far. He could only go so far, and once a day he got the privilege and the fearful privilege of going into the most holy place. But now, because Jesus' death, that curtain was torn, and now because of his life everlasting and his sacrifice was made perfect, that you and I can now boldly go into the throne room of God. I don't need a human priest to do this. I don't need to go to some confessional. I don't need to actually do some sort of ritual. I just go to Jesus, and I'm automatically brought into the throne room of God to receive mercy and grace to help me in my time of need. I only need Jesus. And the whole world is asking the question, how do I get to God? And Jesus says, I'm the answer. I'm the answer. So I want you to think about that in the context of your own life, because I'm telling you guys, millions of people go to a human one of these. Millions. And they say, how do I get my sin forgiven? Well, you got to go say this prayer, and you got to do so many Hail Marys, and you got to do this offering, you got to give this much money, you got to burn this much incense, you got to light this many candles, and you got to do this, and then all of a sudden, then all of your stuff will be abolished. And that's not that the Bible teaches at all. The Bible says that Jesus sits in this seat and no one can dethrone him from this place. So what does that have to do with your life? What does that have to do with you right now? All of those things said, all of that Bible lesson for you in the last few minutes, what does that have to do with you right now? How does Jesus being our great high priest change everything about our life? How should it change everything about our life? And I'm going to tell you this right now, and I hope you take it to heart, because it means that you and I are now part of the priesthood. You're part of the priesthood. You're thinking, well, I don't want to be a priest. I don't want to be a pastor. I don't want to wear those robes. Too bad. You're already part of the priesthood. And let me just tell you, you don't have to be a pastor to be part of the priesthood. You don't have to go to some special school. All you have to do is believe upon Jesus Christ. You see, the priests were set apart as holy unto the Lord. And whenever a sacrifice was made and the blood touched the thing that needed to be made holy, it was considered holy and set apart for the ministry of God. The moment the blood of Jesus touches your life, you are set apart as holy unto him for works of service unto him as a royal priesthood unto him so that you might serve him. The blood of Jesus has declared you as holy and set apart for God. The Bible says this in 1 Peter chapter 2. It says, as you come to him, Jesus, the living stone, rejected by humans but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, everybody say that's me, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house and to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. I don't sacrifice animals anymore. I sacrifice my heart. I offer spiritual sacrifices of God. And you know what? You don't have to be a pastor to serve him. You can be a mechanic and serve him as a priest. You can be an accountant and serve him as a priest. You could be a banker and serve him as a priest. You could be a stay-at-home mom and serve him as a priest. You could do all those things. What are you doing? I'm set apart for the work of Jesus Christ, my great high priest, and I serve him as a living sacrifice holy unto him, and my life is dedicated to him. You see, Jesus didn't save us to sit. He saved us to serve as a holy priesthood. And if I could be so bold to tell you this, too many Christians sit and don't serve. Jesus didn't save us to sit. He saved us to serve. 1 Peter reiterates it by saying this. It says, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood. You don't have to do some special act to get there. Jesus already performed that. You're a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. You're part of God's ministry. You're set apart for the work of God. You're not set apart for sin. You're not set apart for the things that the enemy would try to hold you captive by. You're not set apart for the immorality of this world and the wickedness of the world. I'm set apart as holy unto God because the blood of Jesus touched my life and I serve him with everything I am. My whole being and my whole life, everything I do is an act of worship before the Lord. See, we're not saved from this world. We're sent into it as priests of God. This is why our mission is so critical. Our mission as a church is so important because we go in as priests of God. Not that we're greater than, but we serve a greater high priest. Serve a greater high priest. And I minister because of what he's done in our life. So Jesus is our great high priest. We must go to him and we must serve him. So let me ask you this. With all that said, I gave you a lot. I literally taught this class for a whole year at Bible college. Where are you serving? How are you serving him? What is it about your life that's done as an act of worship to him, our great high priest? Think of this for a second. Every area of your life can be lived out as an act of worship for God. You're a business owner? Do it for the glory of God. You're part of this church? Serve somewhere for the glory. Don't sit. Serve somewhere for the glory of God. How could we not serve Him? God has already paved a way for us to be part of the ministry of what He's doing. And all of us as part of one body, each has its own part. So that we might serve the others. This is what the greatest story of all time means. The greatest high priest of all time came. And we don't need another. You don't need me to get to God. You just need Jesus. Because He's greater. He's the more perfect sacrifice of the more perfect covenant built on better promises.